For those of you who were here last week, you recall that we talked about power. That we talked about that God had said in Acts chapter 1 that ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. Now remember, he was talking to people in Jerusalem. So he says it starts here and goes out. Now I think about that like this morning. When we leave here, we go out from here. What starts in this place will be spread as far as 25 miles, at least. I know that much. And so if we utilize the power that God has given to us, as we talked about last week, to inject God in other people's situations. Now, for those of you who may not have been here, let me say this. Number one, the biggest responsibility that a born-again believer has is for others. God, in His wisdom, for some reason, does not get involved in a lot of situations because Christians do not ask Him to. He has decided that the work of Jesus on this earth shall be done by us. But we have to initiate. What we talked about last week is when you see someone who's in a jam, who's having problems, who is sick, or having financial problems, or whatever. When you see those people needing Jesus, it's your responsibility to bring Jesus and God into the equation. By saying, will you please do something about their situation, Lord? Now, at that point, God says what He starts, He's faithful to finish. I think our biggest job is to initiate the thing, to bring Him into the equation, if you will. And once He gets started there, you can step back and watch Him work. And that's our biggest job. With the power that God gave us to pass it on to others. Now, that's for salvation. And that's for putting God in other people's lives. To do for them what He's been doing for you. We pray for each other. Because there are times when we can get so distraught with our own problems that we're in no shape to pray for ourselves. And others can step in and pray for us. I've done this several times, and it's a kind of an eye-opener. But think about this for a moment. We have prayer requests in this room every Sunday morning, and we pray for others. And I got an idea that as you leave here, because of the power that's been shown in this church right here, that when you go home, you continue those prayers. But you need to look around. You look around at the different people that are in this room. There's a real diversity of people here, from all kinds of backgrounds. But I tell you this, when you get in a jam, these people right here will be praying for you more than probably any other group of people, even your family. And two, in my opinion, their prayers will probably get more done than a lot of other people praying. So remember that. And when you remember that all these people come together and pray for you, that you also have the obligation and the privilege to pray for them. Now we saw last week too, and don't turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, that the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. The evidence of the kingdom of God is when people see power. God is all about power. And when you're in touch with Him properly, God does powerful things through you and people see it. It was the thing that so impressed people in that day about Jesus. But He said the power wasn't His. That everything He did in a powerful way came from God. Just like it does with us. So, this morning, we talked about last week the power to lead others to the Lord, the power to point others to Jesus, the power to put Jesus in other people's situations and problems. The kingdom of God, I think, can be best described by something that all of you know, most everybody knows it, born again or not, that comes in the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, as we recite the Lord's Prayer, we pray that Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the kingdom of God. When God's will on earth is done like it is in heaven. There is only one authority in heaven, and that's God the Father. And when that authority, that submissiveness to authority happens here on this earth, that's called the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. What it means is that our relationship down here to God is the same way as it is in heaven. So then, in heaven there's one authority, and when it gets like that on the earth, that's what they call the kingdom of God. The recognition of that is power. Now, we hear prayers go up every Sunday for the world, for our community, for the people in the community and the world. We need to remember that we were not called to change the world. I don't know how much studying you've done about Jesus' ministry, but there are a lot of denominations now that have what we call a social ministry. It seems that their main thrust is to do away with poverty in the world, is to do away with crime in the world, is to do away with unhappiness in the world, to do away with meanness and everything else in the world. Jesus never dealt with that. Go back and look. It was all around Him. Meanness and poverty and poor. When the poor was brought up, He said, the poor will always be with us. It wasn't that He didn't have compassion for the poor. He was stating a fact. You will never get rid of all the poor folks. We weren't called, folks, to change the world. There had been some great ministers that used that as their calling card. We're going out to change the world. God never told us to change the world. His order for us is to pull people out of the world. That's a lot different. Because you see, you can witness to someone. They can accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Holy Spirit can get in their heart and they can live in the same world that you do and live a glorious life and a thankful life and a blessed life without the world around them ever changing. One of the greatest Bible commentators that I have ever read is a Chinaman by the name of Watchman Nee. Some of you have heard of him. The last 20 years of his life, he spent in a communist prison in China. From 1952 to 1972, he was in deplorable conditions in a prison over there. And there's a lot of material about the Bible and the principles of the Bible that he sent out by people who visited him in that prison. So you see, in the worst of conditions, in the absolute worst of conditions, we can still live the victorious life. We can. And we can tolerate whatever we have to do because God has given us this power. He didn't call us to change the world, but with His shed blood, He made the way for us to change the lives of other people. Not the world, but their lives. Through Jesus, they can overcome the world. He says, in this world you shall have tribulation, but take cheer, because I've overcome the world. They come unto Him and they get rest. He says that. You come unto Me and I'll give you rest. You deny yourselves and they let Him live and work through them. You can crucify yourself and Christ becomes your life. You die to self and Christ starts living in you. The world is condemned before God. Do you understand that? There is no saved country. There are only saved people. There is no born-again country. There's born-again people. And so our job is to go after people. Pray for the world because we are commanded to do so, that we might have peace. We pray for our leaders. The Bible says that we may have peace. But understand, don't let the world and its condition get you down. We've got power to use for others. And we've got power to use for ourselves. He says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God. Everything that God wants you to be, you have the power now to be. He was giving it. He gave it to you at salvation. So, we've been talking about the power to help others. But there's a power out here that God gave you to help yourself. And we're going to talk about that for a bit. Ephesians chapter 2 says that before we got saved, that we were under the captivity of Satan. We didn't have a choice. We had to do bad things because he was our master. As we become saved, as the song says, now we're free. Free, wow. Free to choose to do what we want to do. Turn to Romans chapter 8. And let's look at 3 or 4 verses there. Remembering that God has given us the power to be everything He wants us to be. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. As a born-again believer, you cannot be condemned. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I am no longer under the captivity of Satan. I do not have to sin. And number 2, I do not have to die. I will die physically, yes. My heart will stop beating. Mine won't. Yours will. Mine's got a motor in there that won't let it quit. And a pretty good battery as long as we keep changing, you know, keep check on it. But we are no longer under the bonds of sin and of death. We're free from that. Jesus made us free from that. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. You understand that? He sent Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh. That's me and you guys. He sent Jesus down here to become just like us. So He could get us out from under this bondage. Condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus died for sin. What sin? Which sin? All sin. The only word that I know of in the singular is more plural than the plural. Jesus died for all sin. Now you have sins, but Jesus has died for every single one of them. There are people out here who sin, who are not born again, who have no recompense for their sin, their sinfulness. They don't have any way of going about it. They have no redemption. But all sin, Jesus died for once. It has been taken care of. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Before we were saved, we had to walk after the flesh. That's the only thing option we had. Now that we're born again, we can walk after the Spirit if we choose to. Now this thing has two parts. One, Christ overcame sin. Salvation gave us power to overcome sin. That happens in a moment. Christ shed His blood for sin, period. That happened 2,000 years ago. Sin has been taken care of in your life. After that comes the real battle. And this is where we have so many problems, and I think so few people are reminded of this nowadays. It's like Pogo said one time in his comic strip, "We have found the enemy, and the enemy is us." Overcoming self is a lifelong job. That's what I do today. I don't overcome sin. Sin has already been taken care of. My problem today is not sin. My problem is self. My problem is me. That's the reason I think that he says that if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Here's that word, self. Take up his cross daily and come after me. Now, y'all, the only way we can do that is through faith that Jesus, what he said about overcoming sin in our life, is real. So every day I have to pray that today I will overcome myself. Not sin, it's already taken care of, but that I might overcome self. Tell you what, didn't know for sure I'd go do it. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 14. There's something here I want to show you. There might be somebody in here who's not aware of this. I don't know if someone asked you, what was the sin of Satan? Do you know about Satan? Before he became Satan, he was an angel called Lucifer. He was the best looking angel, had the best physique, and the most handsome. He was the chief of the angels, and very close under God in authority. And he got booted out of heaven. Hell was created for him, not for us. Because when God created Adam and Eve, there was no need for a hell. But we have a place that we go now, if we're not born again, a place that God created for Lucifer, for Satan, for the best looking and the highest authority angel that was. Do you know what his sin was? You know what he did to get kicked out of heaven, that God created a place of torment to put him in? It says so right here in the 14th chapter of Isaiah and verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, who didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart," here's the sin, "I will ascend unto heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. He says in verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the sides of the pit. You know what his sin was? I'm not going to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's it. That's it, folks. When you are involved in the sin of Satan, the thing that brought him down from heaven to be at the right hand of God, and one third of the angels came with him because they joined up with him. Simply because they said in their heart they had an idea. I will be my God. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. For every time down here, I hear someone say, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm going to, you fill in the blanks. That is the sin of Satan. He developed pride, he developed arrogance, and he was going to slide over and bump God out of God's throne in his life. And God threw him out for that. That's all he did. We today don't consider that a big deal. We see it everywhere, left and right, 360 degrees. People not doing what God wants them to do. So you think, well, you know, that's not too bad. There's a new song out by the McCameys. The title is From the Shepherd's Point of View. Y'all, we have got to learn to look at things like God did. We can't look at it like we look at it. Because we have this tendency to pet ourselves. The Bible says, no man hateth his own flesh, but loveth it and cherisheth it. This whole thing about self-esteem is a deal of the Satan. Because my Bible says, all of us have got too much self-esteem to start with. We need to learn how to be humble. I will want to do, I'm going to do what I want to do and not what God says. Flesh has self at the center. Living in the Spirit, it says in back in 8th chapter of Romans, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. In the flesh, we have ourselves at the center. Whenever I put myself at the center of my life and what I want is more important than what anybody else wants, including God. But living in the Spirit is when we put others and God before our own self. Now, young Christians, people who are new to the business, are being taught, and they think, and they have every right to have the attitude that sin is external. They talk about doing this and doing that and smoking and drinking and dancing and gambling and all these things, and it's constantly preached that that is the problem. But when you serve the Lord for a while and you begin to understand Him more and you get closer to Him, you find out that when someone has taken all these things out of their life, their heart is still sinful. We've got a sinful heart. We're born with it. David says we come from our mother's womb with it. And I'm here to tell you, we'll die with it. The whole thing is dealing with this sinful heart. Jesus died for sin and gave us the power in John chapter 12, to deal with sin in our life. According to the Scriptures, it's not even hard for us to do. We say it's hard. We excuse ourselves. We try to take up for ourselves. But the fact is, God has given us the power to quit doing those things that God doesn't want us to do. Because of that scripture, that there's no condemnation, He has given us the power to do it. If we don't have it, it's because we don't want it. Because the power is there to use for ourselves. If we learn that something is sin, we can condemn ourselves for that sin in our own life. And we can quit doing it. But when we clean ourselves up, and this I think sometimes is the theme of the church, to clean ourselves up. And once we get all those external sins out of the way, and we don't do all those things that everybody talks about, then we're home free. And that's when we get arrogance and pride and do like Satan does. Nobody's going to tell me what I have to do. But we find that even though we've cleaned ourselves up from these little things that are on the list, you know the list. Everybody's got a list. All the lists are different, but everybody's got a list. The churches have a list of things you don't need to do. But even when you quit doing all those things, you still find that you got a heart that is not at all what you'd like for it to be. It's really not. And so you see, I need Jesus. I've had a long time with the help of the Lord to try to clean myself up. And I'm not there yet. And I see my heart sometimes and I know that it's not what it ought to be. And I pray, Lord, come in and change it. So you see, the day I die, I'll still have a bad heart. Well, then why does it look like that I'm doing pretty good? It's because of Jesus in me. It's not me. It's Jesus in me doing what He wants to do, working through me to be what He wants me to be. We got to have a daily supply of faith if we overcome that heart, because it's on the inside. Our problem is not external. It's not those little things that other people can see you doing. It's the way you think. That's the problem. As soon as God grants our work of faith, they talk about the work of faith in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. As soon as God grants us that work of faith in our life, and Paul told the church at Thessalonians, don't deny that. Don't turn your back on that work of faith. As soon as it does, we have a rest without worry. I'm going to tell you this, and I don't mean to belittle this, because I'm going to tell you there's a real gift here. Jesus took care of sin. You believe that with all your heart? You know that He died for every sin that was ever committed and will ever be committed. Do you know also, without using it as an excuse, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and tomorrow I'm going to sin and come short of the glory of God? Now, I can start working on those sins and make me a list and go through life doing everything I can not to do anything that will be sinful and never having any time at all to do the things that God wants me to do. So, I take up Paul's advice. Look not on the things that are past, but press on toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. You know what that thing tells me? That if I will focus on Jesus Christ, I don't even hardly notice my sins anymore. They don't get to be a big deal. They don't drag me down. They don't keep me from doing what God wants me to do. Because I got my eyes on Him. And that's what we've got to learn to do. Now, we respond to God for emptying us of all those bad things. He will do it. Through the Holy Spirit, He will work in us to empty those things out and change our lives, and He will also work in us to fill us up with the good stuff. One of the greatest promises in the Word of God is that God says, if you ask to be filled with the Spirit, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. That's one thing you can pray for, knowing you're going to get. Now, I'm this kind of guy. I've got to have visual pictures to understand what's going on. My scripture says, I came from dust and I'll go back to dust. That helps me. Maybe that puts you down a little bit more than you'd like to be, but that helps me. I was dust to start with, and when I die, I'm going to be dust again. If I'm dust when I came and I'm dust when I go, I'm dust all in between. And you can't change dust. Dust is dust. And if I'm a bucket of dust, I'm going to look like a bucket of dust until Jesus gets in that bucket and knocks some of that dust out and people start seeing Him in the bucket instead of me. So I'm telling you this, after all these years, I've learned that really and truly, I'm not that much better than I was to start with. My heart is still the same heart that I had, and it still thinks up evil imaginations. But I tell you what, if I can get out of the way far enough, if I can stay back out of the way, leaving myself out of it, people can see Jesus through me. And that is my prayer. It's like the song said. Let others see Jesus in me. Because you see, I know that that dust is still back there. It'll always be there. It'll never change. I'm not changed into a good person. I let Jesus live in my heart, and He makes me look like a good person. That's the basis for all of this thing about living for Jesus, is just getting ourselves out of the way and let Him do what He wants to do in us. Let's pray. Father, make us understand that the whole thing about religion, about church, about a fellowship with You, about the Bible, and about everything else is about sin. None of this would have been needed if we had been able, without You, to stay away from sin. But the fact is, we aren't. So, Lord, I pray for myself today and for anybody else that feels like I do, that You would come into my life, push all that dust out the back door, and take its place, that others might see You in me. Amen.